The reading is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verses 1 to 11. And you'll find it on page 811 in your pew Bibles. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While they were going, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests everything that had happened. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Dick. Seems I'm on my feet rather a lot. John has got his part to play later on. John is our celebrant, our president of the Eucharist today. Thank you, John. And he's got some young help as well from the Heath family with the Eucharistic prayer. So we look forward to our Eucharist. But I wanted to just say first of all how this service is part of a journey. And some of you were here last Monday in the hall for a Passover meal, and we had there a sort of Jewish meal like the Seder, the Passover, that Jesus would have led his disciples in the upper room before they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And then on Wednesday, a number of us, about 40 plus of us in this congregation, were meditating around this church where there were stations of the cross, aspects of that journey that was made from Gethsemane all the way to Golgotha, where Jesus was crucified, and beyond. And then on Thursday night, a number of us received communion, having received it in the morning too, here, and we imagined how Jesus washed those disciples' feet. And then he was betrayed by Judas and taken away by dead of night to be given a sort of mock trial by the Jews. And then on Good Friday, we learn of Pontius Pilate's verdict that he should indeed be crucified as the people cry, "Crucify him." And I was here with a number of you in the chancel at that moment when we received a little note, and it looked like this, and we were invited to write our name on that note and to place it at the foot of the cross. And a whole host of us did that. And I just think that in this journey, if you've reached a point where you can say, "Yes, I believe that Jesus died for me," then that's a wonderful point to reach. It's a wonderful stage. Let me just ask you to put up the next slide. Any of your children guess what that might be today, being Easter Day? What might that be, do you think? What sort of shape have we got? Yes? Ah, an egg? Yes, she actually says Easter egg. Well, let's see what sort of an egg it is. It looks perfect, doesn't it? But, oh, can you see a tiny crack in it? I think sometimes, you know, we sort of feel that that hope in Christ, it's got a lot of a sort of fault in it. There's something about us being able to receive it that we find difficult. And the next. Yeah, at times in life, maybe we've had a very difficult part of our life. Something happened that we can't see God in it. And it feels like things are really cracking up badly. How do we hope in that circumstance? And then, there is a little sign of hope. I wonder whether any of our youngsters, what do you think that might be poking out of that egg? Yes? A chick! That's right. And so we find that all of that danger and difficulty is actually in a good cause, because a sort of earthquake is happening, an eruption, and yay! There is hope. There is hope. And that's the journey we've been through, really, these last 3 days with Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Saturday. And now, let's have a look at the next one. Yes, coming through an earthquake, it can be a bit of a shattering experience. And we feel joy, absolutely, that yes, there is new life offered to us. Christ is risen from the dead. But we also feel fear. I think you can perhaps detect that. There's a little bit of the wobble still with that chick. Wonder, you know, for the disciples, as we had that story from Matthew 28, and we had the women come to the tomb early, and who in this church has a woman that gets up first in their household? Hands up. Ah, well, not very many, according to that. Okay, well, obviously our culture is a bit different from the African culture today and from the ancient Near East culture of those days, where it would have been the women. And they'd been the last at the tomb on Good Friday. They'd sort of waited until it was dark by the tomb. And then they were the first up. And we know that there are at least five. Only in Matthew's Gospel we hear of Mary Magdalene, and we hear of Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. But we know that from the other Gospels, there are at least five women. There may have been a lot more. And they were coming. I wonder what was in their mind. You know, Jesus had said, on the third day, I will rise again. But I don't believe they're expecting that. And indeed, they hear an earthquake, and there is a stone that is rolled away when they come to the tomb. And amazingly, as they're about to go and discover, a figure appears. And this angel says, "Do not fear. Do not be afraid." And today, I've got two words, really. Do not be afraid and be filled with joy. And the result is that you choose life. But I just want to say the soldiers who had been guarding the tomb, when the earthquake happened and the angel rolled away the stone, they were struck with fear. Paralyzed, actually. Not at all like that stained glass window, which is a misrepresentation where they've fallen asleep. So, but they were struck with fear, and then they went off to the Jerusalem to tell the authorities what was going on and what had happened. But meanwhile, the women are invited in by the angel, because the angel knows that they have come seeking the Lord. And they are amazed. But they just discover the grave clothes, like a body is evaporated out of it, and the headcloth on its own somewhere else. And in one of the other Gospels, they actually have a conversation with two other angels at this point. And then they leave. They left quickly with fear and great joy. only to bump into Jesus. He says, "Hi there." Just like that. "Hi there." And in this gospel that you've heard, there is a sort of gobsmacked silence. And the following words are, "And they came to him and took hold of his feet and worshipped him." It was dawning, wasn't it? You remember that chick that was sort of staggering around? That's how they are. Something has broken the power of death. The angels have said he's not here. He said he wouldn't be here. Why do you seek the living among the dead? And now they've met him. That is amazing. And they're told to go and to tell the good news that he's risen to the other disciples, and that Jesus would meet these brothers in Galilee. So that was a message the angel had said, and it's a message that Jesus had also said to them. And we know that Peter and John rushed off to the tomb. In the chronology of Matthew 28, I think that may have been just before the next bit that we read, where they go off and tell the other disciples. So I guess that there's been, if you like, a coming to the tomb and then a coming back on the women's part and meeting that gardener figure who introduces himself as Jesus. And that's what we're probably reading about there in verse 9 when you get back to it at home. But I would say there have been some other people who have been spreading this news. Do you note how the last verse that Dick read mentioned the soldiers who went to the chief priests? And they were the people, the very enemies, that had given that false verdict of guilty upon Jesus. And they'd mocked him as he was on the cross. And the word comes to them, and they know that they've had guards guarding the place thoroughly. There is only one explanation, and that is that actually Jesus has come through the rock. He is risen. And in order not to face that truth, they bribe soldiers to tell a lie that the disciples came and stole his body. Well, there have been many essays written about this. How could you disprove the resurrection? And one fundamental sticking point is this, that nobody has ever produced the body of Jesus. And what happens with unbelief is that it sort of gathers things around it in a defensive way. And that's what happened with this band of soldiers and chief priests. They colluded because they could not face the truth. Now, I hope today that we're able to accept that the breakthrough Jesus achieved.
Overcome.
Amazing comeback. I mean, one man alone for the salvation of the whole world. Isn't it just incredible? Hard to believe. But we are alive today with 2 billion other Christians plus who celebrate it, and they know it because Jesus is their friend. Remember, he said, "Go and tell my brothers, I will meet them in Galilee." And that's the next slide, really. Because Galilee is north of Jerusalem, where they were, by about 70 miles. And it was like, "I'll see you Monday morning." And sure enough, by the lakeside, as they were fishing, Jesus met them. And they had a barbecue on the beach. Later on in the epistles, it mentions that a great crowd of 500 or more women or men met him at the same time. And I guess that might have been up in Galilee. Yes, please. So we've got a choice this morning. And Tuesday, we choose. Because it's Tuesday for us, isn't it? Bank holiday tomorrow. Tuesday is choosing day for us. Whether we in Galilee, back in our workplace, back in our homes, back at school, maybe, or is it an inset day? Anyhow, whenever that is for you, back in school, you've got a choice. Either to be overcome with fear. I think fear will always be there somewhere. It's likely to sort of follow us because we're human beings. But like the two Marys, may we be filled with Easter joy. That every circumstance, because Christ has risen again, every circumstance can be overcome by the power of his love in the end. Great. I'm going to close there with a prayer. Lord, thank you for these events in the four Gospels, which are so radical, like an earthquake exploding in testimony. We pray that we will make our own testimony by seeking you and seeking your truth. Lord, fill us with your life, your hope, and your joy today and always. Amen.